Okay, today's daf is Kuf Yud Daled. We're going to start a Kuf Yud Gimel Amabet, about 12 lines from the top. Okay, Amar Bibi Bar Gidol, Amar Rabbi Shimon Chasida. If you remember, we're talking about Gezel Kana'ani. We proved yesterday that you cannot steal from a Kana'ani. Right, we saw that there were reasons, possibly because of Kiddush Hashem, maybe even if it doesn't have to do with Kiddush Hashem, or let's say preventing a Chilul Hashem. We saw a distinction, we tried to make a distinction between a Kna'ani and a Ger Toshav, but we rejected that. Right? And then we said, really, you can't be Gozel a Kna'ani at all. So now Rabbi Bibi Bar Gidol says in the name of Rabbi Shimon Chasida also, Gezel Kna'ani Asur, but Avedato Muteret. What does that mean, Avedato Muteret? If you find an Aveda, and you don't have to, let's say you see something wandering in the street, and you know it's clear, you know, you can figure out who it belongs to, you don't have a responsibility to take that Aveda and return it to its owner if it belongs to a Kna'ani. Gezelo Asur, now we're going to see why. And here we're going to prove it from a pasuk, which they didn't bring before. What does that mean? You can take all their stuff, right? If you're in a war and you conquer people, you're allowed to take their stuff. So what are they darshan from here? And that's only in time of war, right? This is very interesting, right? The whole thing, right? How do you take people's stuff in time of war? So then you're allowed to, but otherwise you're not. Avedato muteret, da amar Rav Chama bar Guria amar Rav. Here's our source for this. Minayin levedata kanani shi muteret. And this is the source for many different halachot. Like this is the same concept that we have. All sorts of halachot that don't apply to a non-Jew. Shenemar lechol avedata chicha. What does that mean? L'achicha tamachzir v'iyah tamachzir l'knani. Okay, in other words, these halachot specifically said achicha. When it says achicha, it means it doesn't apply to a non-Jew. Ve'ema hanimile. Now they want to suggest, maybe that's only, like maybe it's not in every case that you don't have to. Maybe it's only, hecha delo ate liyade, delom chayv la'adure batre. Aval hecha de ate liyade ema lihadra. That might be if you didn't take the aveda into your hands. Let's say an animal wanders into your property and it's already in your property. Maybe then you're responsible to actually return it to its owner. But if you see an animal wandering on the street and you know it belongs to so-and-so, maybe you don't have to go all the way and say, okay, I'm going to take this home and then I'm going to find its owner. But only maybe in the case where, if it's out and then you haven't taken into your property, so we could say, we're going to potter you. It's almost like a sheval tasse. Just don't do anything. But if it's already in your property, then maybe you're not allowed to keep it and you have to return it. Comes the Gemara and says, no, even then you don't have to. Amar avina umitzata. Okay, that's the continuation of the pasuk. It says, v'chein tasel chamaro, it's the next pasuk. V'chein tasel chol avedat achicha, asher tova bimenu umitzata, and you find it. What does it sound like? You find it. It sounds like you find it, even if you find it in your property. And therefore, achicha applies across the board, even in that kind of a case. Okay, moving on. Tanya Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair Omer. B'makom shiyesh chilul Hashem, afilu avedato asur. So now we learn, wait a minute. While we say that you could keep their aveda, or you don't have to pick it up off the street and return it, but if it's going to be a chilul Hashem, well, you have to return it. Okay? I think it's on this, right? Yeah, there's good story in the Yerushalmi. I don't want to get too off track, but there's good story in the Yerushalmi about a rabbi who finds, he buys a chamor of a non-Jew, and he finds a margalit, like a big pearl, in the, you know, around its neck. And he says, I'm going to go return it, not because, and they ask, is it going to be a chilul Hashem? And he says, no. Like, what's a chilul Hashem here? It's if they know that you have it, and you don't return it. That's a chilul Hashem. So he says, no, nobody's going to know. But then he says, but despite that, I'm going to do it in order to make a Kiddush Hashem. In other words, in order, they say, look at those Jews and look what they do. So even though this says, Chilul Hashem, you have to return it, but otherwise you don't, comes the Yerushalmi and basically says that in order to make a Kiddush Hashem, you should return it anyway. Okay, now we have very strange cases here. Amar Shmuel, ta'uto muteret. If a non-Jew makes a mistake, okay, here's a classic example. You go to the store and they give you extra change in the store. So, according to this halacha, if they give you too much change, well, you don't have to return it if it's a non-Jewish store owner, where if it's a Jewish one, you would. Okay, complicated to, right, hard to grasp why that is, right, why we view it that way. But they say if he makes a mistake, it's mutar. We'll see a bunch of stories now. And the stories are going to be hard to interpret. I'm going to explain according to one interpretation, but they could go in different ways, and you could come to different conclusions based on how you read the story. Kiha de Shmuel, we're now going to have a few ma'asim. Okay? We're going to see there's three ma'asim, and then there's going to be a fourth ma'aseh that's sort of connected, but not directly. Okay? These three ma'asim, we're going to prove that if a non-Jew makes a mistake, notice, by the way, all these stories are with big rabbis. We're not just talking about stump people. So if you make mistakes, if they make mistakes, you don't have to correct them. Kiha de Shmuel, Zavan Mikuti, Lakana de Dahava, he was buying from a kuti a golden cup, Bimar de Parzala, but he sold it to him for the price of Nechoshet. In other words, obviously the non-Jew was confused and thought it was Nechoshet. It was really Zahav, gold. And he sold it Bidalit Zuze, okay, which was the price of Nechoshet. Ve'evla lechad Zuza. Okay, here's where it gets confusing exactly what happened here. So, according to one interpretation, he added an extra zuz so that that would kind of throw off the non-Jew and he wouldn't realize, he wouldn't pay so much attention, say, oh, I guess the guy gave me more, and wouldn't start looking into it, oh, maybe this isn't really the actual price. Okay, again, it's a little confusing and that's why there's different interpretations because none of these works perfectly. But the idea is that he kind of threw in an extra zuz so that he wouldn't have to pay, you know, the guy wouldn't catch the fact that it was really gold and not nechoshet. Rav Kahana zava mikuti mea ve'esrim chavita b'mea. He bought from a kuti 120 barrels for the price of 100. Ve'evla lechad zuze. And again, he threw in an extra zuz. Amarle, but now he says to him something additional. Chazei de'alach kasamichna. Now, what was the issue? Right, you go to the store, you get 10 rolls for, you know, 12 shekels, whatever. So, you know, they don't count the rolls, right? You just go and you say, I picked out 10, right? I picked out 20, whatever. They don't start counting. So in this case, it was the same thing. There were 120 barrels. He sold it to him for the price of 100, because the non-Jew obviously didn't realize how many there were. He thought there were 100. He threw in an extra zuz, so again, it's unclear exactly why, but maybe just so the guy would, like, be thrown off. But he says to him, Chazei de'alach kasmichna. Know that I'm relying on you in terms of the counting. In other words, it's your responsibility. Right? This is like you pay someone and, you know, you don't keep track whether you pay them or not for the month. So, you know, know that I'm relying on you. If it's the mistake is on you. So now, some of the Pershim say, therefore, according to this, only if you say, know that I'm relying on you, can you trick him. But, you know, again, the obvious thing was that the non-Jew said, give me a price for 100. The non-Jew started with the mistake. And so now the guy says, that's fine, I'm paying you this, but but I'm relying on you in terms of doing the counting. Ravina Zavandikla, Huvikuti, Litzlacha. He had a dekel that he was together with this kuti in, and they were selling it, they were chopping it up, right? And then they were taking parts of the dekel tree. So now, Amarle Lashame, here comes his trickery. This is a little more active trickery than the others. Amarle Lashame, Kadam Va'aite Mi'ikaro, Dekuti Minyana Yada. I want you to take from the base of the tree. In other words, they're different. The parts of the tree are different, and those are better. And the reason is because I know the Kuti, he's only going to care that he gets exactly half. But I want the better half. Okay? So he was allowed to do that. Rav Ashi, Havaka'aza Ba'orcha. Okay, so those were our three stories where you see the rabbis, again, sort of tricked. Exactly, did they trick? Was it the non-Jew who initiated the mistake or not? With the splitting up of the chips, so while one might be better, if the kuti really doesn't care and he only cares he gets his right amount, then maybe it's not exactly trickery because, you know, and again, the kuti himself, in these cases, should be noticing what's going on, and it's a little bit his responsibility also to pay attention. But again, the whole thing is a little bit hard to swallow. Yeah.
Yves Lale could be sort of like a tip, you know. Let's say you take a taxi ride somewhere.
Right, so he gives him a tip.
You throw in a tip.
Yeah, but it's a tip, but when he's not actually paying him the full amount. You know, do you have to remember, he's paying him less than... Why? Why would he pay him a tip?
Yeah, just to be nice.
Uh-huh. Right, but then it's not so connected to the story.
No, it's not.
Right. Then you could be saying that it's just a... It's just an extra thing. It has nothing really to do with the story, but they're telling us the story, and that's not the central part of the story. That's one way of looking at it. Okay, Rav Ashi Havakaza Ba'orcha. Here's another maaseh. It's a little related, but not directly. He was going on this path. Chaza Shivsha Dgufne. He saw a vine, Bipardisa, in a pardis. Bitali Baki Tufe De'inve. And there were grapes hanging on them. Amalei L'shameh says to Shamash, Zilchazi I de kuti ninhu, aite. If you see it belongs to a kuti, take the grapes. I de Israel ninhu, lo aite li. Don't bring me if it belongs to a Jew. Seems very strange. What, he's going to steal? Right? Didn't we just say it's asur to steal? Shama hahu kuti, don't worry, he's not really stealing. The kuti here is davayate bepardesa, he's in his pardes. Amarle, de kuti share, what is, you allowed to steal from me? Amarle, kuti shakil dame, Yisrael lo shakil dame. Why did I distinguish between you and a kuti? Not because I was planning to steal from you, I was planning to pay you for it. But I knew that if I took from a Jew, they'd never let me pay for it, because I'm Rav Ashi, and if Rav Ashi wants to take from my grapes, what, I'm going to charge him? Right? But I knew that a kuti would charge me, so I was only willing. Here's a whole different thing, right? What is it? Why is it here? Because it highlights the differences between a kuti and Yisrael in terms of their behavior, right? They're saying a Yisrael will have kavod for him and won't make him pay, whereas a kuti will, so he'd rather take it and pay for it rather than, you know, take it and not let them have the Jew not let him pay for it. So again, it's not related to tricking, but that's what seems to be happening. Okay. Gufa. Amar Shmuel. Now we're going to go back to this famous statement of Shmuel, Dina de Machuta Dina. Okay, by the way, Shmuel is always associated. He's the one who coined the term, Dina de Machuta Dina, the famous term that comes up in many cases. Okay, the law of the land is the law. Okay, you have to keep the law of whatever country you're living in. Amar Rav. Teda, from here, what can you derive? Dikatle dikle, v'gishre gishre, v'avrina nalayu. This is the reason why we can go over on bridges. Where were the bridges taken from? What's the connection? The bridges are made from beams. Where do they take the beams from? The king stole them from people in order to build the bridges. So how can you use stolen property by going over the bridge? It's because dina de machuta dina. If the king says you have to give up your wood in order to build the bridge, then you have to, and then it becomes the law, and it's no longer stealing. It's not stolen property, and therefore we're allowed to go over the bridge. So Amale Abaye, it's not necessarily because of Dina de Machuta Dina, Dilma Mishum Di'yayesh Lehuminayu Marayhu. Isn't it because people were already Mityayesh, right? And what happened? They took the beams, they stole them from people, but then the people already said, oh, well, I'm never going to get this back because now it's in a bridge. So they were Mityayesh, and therefore maybe it's because of that. So Amale, Ilo Dina de Machuta Dina, Hecha Miyayeshe, Bahalokai, So he says, but if it weren't for Dina de Machuta Dina, there would never, Yeush wouldn't work. Why wouldn't Yeush work? Because what do you need? Yeush and Shinoi. And if you remember, we talked about if you put beams in a bridge, let's say, and you, right, they're still called beams. They haven't changed their name. There's no real Shinoi. You can take apart the bridge and still have the beam intact and therefore return it. And therefore, it's only Yeush. Okay, we're going to get into this a lot. Yeush, when it comes to a mitzia, like something you find on the street, yeush is enough for the owner to be koneh, the finder to be koneh. But if it's a gzela case, you need, like we've seen, yeush and something else, like shinoi rishud. Shinoi rishud works, or shinoi masa. Now here, there's no shinoi rishud. The king stole it and used it for the king's purposes. And not only that, right? There's no rishud, shinoi rishud, because it's rishud arabim. It didn't become owned by anybody else. It's just public property. So it's not really owned by anyone. Okay, so, and the one who stole it, right, hasn't done a shinoi rishut, that was the king. So, now comes Abai and he says, v'halo ka'avde k'd amar malka, malka amar, but you're saying it's because of dina de machuta dina, but who says that the guys who took the beams did exactly like the king said and therefore it's the law of the land? The king says, go take equal portions from everybody. But Malkamar Zilu Vikulu we call Bage, right? Take from everybody equally. But the king's messengers, what did they do? Okay, here you see their whole negativity about the governments that they were living under. Vinu Azlu Vakalu Mecha Bage. They went and it was a headache for them to go to everybody's house and take beams. So what did they do? They took it all from one guy. So what did we say? No. Shlucha de Malka Kimalka. Velo Tarach Velo Tarach. Vinu afteran afshayu dibay lady inkut mikule bage umishkaldame. Well, it's true that the king's people went to one guy and took all the beams from him. Okay, obviously they're exaggerating. It wasn't one, but you know, they did it disproportionately. But they function exactly like the king, and the king is allowed to do that. But what's supposed to happen? If they come and let's say they take from Ani and they take all her stuff and not from anybody around the table. So Ani by law is allowed to go around to all of us and get back the money that she's owed, in other words, her portion, right? So that she only has to lay out her portion and not the whole thing. So the king's messengers can do like the king. They can take from one person, but those people, that person who got taken from, his responsibility is to get his own money back, so there really is no theft, right? And it becomes dina de machuta dina. Okay, so this was all to prove that this is all midin dina de machuta dina. Now comes Rava, and he's going to give, okay, so that's his first halacha about the gesher. Now we're going to have four more halachot by Rava. Amar Rava, man demishtekach bebedre, paramanta demalka. You have like a shared storage house, and everybody takes their portion, but you didn't take yours. Comes the king to take his taxes, and he comes to the storage house, and just your stuff is left. He takes from your stuff, and it's no problem. What do you do then? You have to go to the other people and demand the money back. It's like the same thing. But now they say this is only true of a hanimile shutve, avalarisa irusutehu de kamafik. That's only if you're all shutafim, okay? You're partners. But if you're an aris, you're a sharecropper, and you don't actually own the stuff, right? What happens? You get a percentage. A sharecropper gets a percentage as payment, but it's really payment. So if they take from the sharecropper, that's not shared property of all these shutafim. In other words, and therefore it wouldn't work for the sharecropper to then go to everybody else and say, give me your portion back. So the king can't take from the sharecropper on behalf of everybody else because the sharecropper is not a landowner. Okay, and therefore it's different. So only from landowners he can take from one and they demand from the other. But if he takes from the sharecropper everyone's portion, that's already considered theft. Now why is it relevant if they stole or not? So it's exactly what we said about the bridge. They stole, but, and okay, who cares? They don't care about our laws, whether we consider it stealing or not, but what's the point? If you want to buy from this person or use this stuff from this person, you're using stolen property. And you can't buy stolen property if you know it's stolen. So this whole sugya is all about being concerned with maybe what this guy's got is stolen. And therefore, you have to worry that you can't go buy things if it's stolen property. It's like buying on the black market. As you know that they steal this stuff. So therefore,
it's like being in Manhattan and buying off the guys on 7th.
Exactly. Avenue. So this is exactly what the sugya is discussing. You have to beware if you think something's stolen, you can't go buy from them, even if you don't know for sure. So therefore, if he took from the aris, that would be considered stolen property. V'amarava, barmata abarmata mi'avit. You can, now, when they go collecting taxes, if they take from one city guy, on behalf of, let's say you didn't pay and you're not around, so they can take collateral from one city guy for a different guy and say, I'm taking this object as collateral so that you make sure that the other guy pays his taxes. You're allowed to do that. Bahane mile de barla ara, this is only for property tax, vikaraga, and for the census tax. Dahai shata, of the census tax of that year. It's only for property taxes and census taxes of that year. Aval shata de chalif, but for the previous year, ho ilvi ifayas malka chalif. What's the issue? The tax collector, at the end of every year, has to give the king whatever the king said. I need 100,000 shekel. So he goes and collects it. Now, if he doesn't have 100,000 shekel that he collected in taxes, what does he have to do? He has to pay out of pocket to the king. So if he's now going to collect, while he's the messenger of the king and he's collecting that year's taxes, he can act like the king and take from one over the other. But now we're going to see there's different laws for kings and for regular people. If he's getting it to pay him back for the money from last year that he never collected, he already paid the king for that money. He's no longer the messenger of the king. He's functioning now on his own to get his own money back. Then he can't take a mashkon from one for the other, because then he's just a regular guy. V'amar Rava, another halacha. Haine didayre dre betoch hatchum. There were these guys who kept animals in order to use them for fertilizing. They would rent them out. They would say, oh, you need animals? Well, take these animals. They can go fertilize, poop on your property. And I'll rent you them. So if they have these, a deer is a place where the animals live. So they have these pens that are betoch hatchum, within the tchum of the city, asur likach mehen. You can't buy from them an animal, because the assumption was that all sorts of other animals ended up in there, like the black market, and either they took other people's animals or somehow animals wandered in there and they weren't careful and they kind of let them stay there. And therefore, you can't buy from them because it's probably stolen property. My time, here we see it. Mishum de'ma'arva chiyuta de'mata b'hadayu. There's other animals from the city mixed up here. B'chutz le'tchum, the assumption is if they're outside the tchum of the city, then there aren't other people's animals mixed in there, and therefore mutar l'kach mehen. Amar Ravina, Even if you're outside the tchum, imayuba alimirat finachareham, if you see owners going and saying, that's my animal, okay? Afilu chutz l'tchum asur. Okay, then it's even going to be asur outside the tchum. Machris Rava, v'itema Ravuna, another halacha of Rav, or in this case it might be Ravuna who said it. Disalkin li'ilu denachten l'tata, those are people who go from Israel to Babel or Babel to Eretz Israel. Hai bar Yisrael de yada saduta l'kuti, v'lotavu mine, if there's a Jew who knows testimony that will help a kuti against a Jew, and they don't subpoena him to court, they don't know he knows this. V'azal v'asile b'dine de kuti, and he goes into the courts, in other words, of his own accord. He goes into the courts and he testifies al Yisrael Chavre against his friend the Jew. Misham Tinale, we put him in Nidoy. And you say, well, that sounds what? You're not supposed to tell testimony about something? But here's our reason. My time on De'inu Mavke Mamona Apume Dechad. They, in their courts, they take out money based on one aid. In our courts, we only allow on two aid. So if you're a one aid who knows testimony, you can't go testify in their court because then they're going to take it out of the Jew's hands in a way that halachically doesn't belong to this Jew because it was only... either which way, whether the money is going to go to the Jew or the money is going to be taken away from the Jew, it's going to be a case of gezel because it's one aid. But this is all lamaran elachad. That's only if you're one guy. Aval betray, if you're two Jews who know testimony, lo. Then this law wouldn't apply to you and you can go to the court to testify. Bechad nami lamaran. Now we're going to see that there's a distinction between different courts of non-Jews. Some also only accepted two witnesses. As chanami lamaran ela bedine de megista, in the villages' courts. Aval be davar, but in the big city court, inunami chad inunami. One second, echad mumta shadele. They're also only going to rely on two. They're not going to take out money based on one aid, and therefore it's okay to go. I'm Rav Ashi, ki avina be Rav Huna ibayalan. So based on this, they had a question. When I was in the house of Rav Huna, they asked him this question. What about Adam Chashuv? Desam chayale kebetre, mafke mamona apume, velo ibayale l'asude. In their courts, even when they don't rely on two, if he's an Adam Chashuv, they'll rely on him. And they'll take out the testimony. And therefore, we shouldn't allow him to testify. O Dilma, or do we have some other consideration if he's an Adam Chashuv? Kevan da Adam Chashuv hu lo matze mishtamit lehu, umatze lasude. Maybe he has to testify because they'll know, if he's an Adam Chashuv, they'll know that he's not testifying. And we always know that the Jews get in trouble when an Adam Chashuv does something bad. In other words, then they're going to hold it against us. And this is like, it ends up being more like a Chilul Hashem. Teku, we don't know the answer. I'm Rav Ashi. Hi, Bar Yisrael, Dezavin Le'ar Lo'ovei Kochavim, a metra de Bar Yisrael Chavre, Mishamtina Le. This is halacha bar metra, which is if you have property that you're selling, and the guy who lives next door is allowed to have first dibs on the property. So now, what if you sold this to a non-Jew and didn't let the neighbor opt into buying it? Instead, you sold it to the non-Jew. So if you do this, you put him in nidoy. My time, huh? If it's because of this din of bar metzra that he has to have first dibs, it doesn't apply by a non-Jew, this whole halacha. If you're selling to a Jew, you're buying from a non-Jew, the whole din of bar metzra doesn't apply. Ella, so what's the issue here? Okay, and this is the finality here, the final thing about this whole sugya, and it gets to, again, what their perception was of the non-Jews. Damrinan le. Why do we put him in Nidoy? Because the neighbor could say, you brought a lion to live next door to me. And he has to assume, you put him in Nidoy until he assumes responsibility for any damage the non-Jewish neighbor is going to cause to his Jewish neighbor. That's the point is, they were scared of them. They looked at them as if they were lions and they were going to attack them. They were going to take their property. They were going to steal things. So what did they say? You know, if you sell someone and you make them next door neighbors with a non-Jew, you have to assume responsibility for any damage that might be caused. Very interesting. Okay, end of that. Now we're moving on. Natzlo muchsin et chamoro. New Mishnah. The muhsin, the tax collectors, took his chamor. V'natznu lo chamor acher, but they gave him someone else's chamor. Now, what's the problem? This might be stolen property, that they just usurped someone else's chamor. Nitalo listim et ksuto. Okay, someone comes to rob you. They grab your clothes. V'natznu lo ksut acher, but they were nice and they gave you someone else's clothes. Okay. Hare elu shelo. You're allowed to keep this, and don't worry that it's stolen property. Why? We assume that the owners had yeush. This is going to be our big topic today. How do you know when the owners had yeush? In which case, ganav, gazlan, with their differences, etc. Hamatzil min hanahar, omen agayis. If you take something out of the river, you find something. Okay, this happened to me once. I was on a teal, and we found a GoPro in the water, okay, in the middle of some country. Okay? So in the end, actually, because a GoPro, when you hook it up, it comes up with the information of the person. So we actually returned it to someone who was, I think it was in Laos, we found it in the middle of some, you know, out in the middle of nowhere, and we returned it to someone who lived, I think, in America. Some crazy story. But anyway, normally, if you find it and it doesn't have information in it, right, you take it out of the Nahar, and it could be we didn't have to return it, because the Baalim probably had Yeush, although you might say maybe they didn't, because
it had the information on it.
Right, because it had their information. On the other hand, they were non-Jews, so we just said you don't have to, but you could have, at least it gave us the opportunity to make a Kiddush Hashem. Okay. Anyway, Hamatzil min hanahar, omen agayis, omen halistim, okay, or the gayis is when they come and they, you know, take all your possessions, the army comes in. Omen halistim, or from someone who stole. So if you get something from there, im nityashu abalim hare elu shelo. Okay, and likewise, if you have a whole beehive, that you know the bees swarmed into someone else's property, okay? If the owners had yeush, that they weren't planning to ever see those dvorim again, then it becomes the person, like let's say a whole swarm of bees comes into your property. And the assumption is, right, there's a honey-making facility, you know, and like it probably came from somebody. And that's the assumption of this whole thing, that people own the dvorim. Okay, now the whole thing about ownership of dvorim is tricky, because we're going to see in the Gemara, you only own them really midrabbanan, because you can't actually, right, take them. They move on their own. It's like a bit of a weaker kinyan. So if you have this bee, swarm of bees, in it yashore elu shalom. Am Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha, not necessarily. What does he say? Ne'emenet isha o katan lomar mikan yatzan nechilze. If they say we saw it coming from there, we believe them. Now here, you believe a woman, you believe a katan, right? How could that be? We're going to get to it in the Gemara. Umahalech betelch sadech haveiro lahatzil et nechilo. If you go, your bees swarmed into someone else's field. You go into their field to get them. You're allowed to do that. But imizik mishalem, if you cause damage on the way, you have to pay for the damage you caused. Mashi izik. Aval lo yikotz etzocho manat litenet adamim. Let's say all your bees are on a branch. Are you allowed to cut that branch off and take the whole branch with you, because they'll stay attached to the branch? Okay? And then you'll pay the guy back the money for what you stole, you know, the branch that you took. But no, you can't do that. But Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha, Omer av kotzeitz v'notenet adamim. You can do that. You're allowed to cut the branch and take, because how else are you going to get the dvorim back? Right? Okay. Gemara, Tana. Okay, now we're going to bring a brayta that seems to contradict the Mishnah. Okay, if you want to look around the second side of the sheet, and now we have a bunch of charts that will help you. Okay? So the third chart on the page is our Mishnah versus the brayta. So the brayta says, im natal machzir lebali marishonim. If you took from the muhsin or from the listim or whatever it might be, you have to return it to its original owners. So what does this sound like? Kasaver yeush kdi lo kane. Yeush by itself is not enough. It's the fact that, now this is a little weird, because it's not just yeush by itself, it's yeush with shinoi reshut, because they're giving it to you. It should work, yeush and shinoi reshut. But what do they say? Umeikara bi'isura ate liyade. Right? Even though it should work, it's not going to work here because it came to your hand, bi'isur. Bi'ika da'amre. Okay, some people say, okay, so according to one interpretation, there's a machloket between the two. Our Mishnah says, yeush and shino reshut is kone. And the other one says, no, yeush and shino reshut is in kone. That's what you'd have to say. Okay, that one person holds, it's not kone. And since it can be yadeh bi'isur, yeush and shino reshut don't work in that case. Okay, it would only work in a case where it didn't come Isur. That's one way of looking at it. There's two approaches. Now the Gemara is going to suggest a different way of looking at it. There are some who say, that this whole second, the Braita, the fact that it says if you took it, you should return it to the original owners, that's only if you want to do lifnei mishurat hadin. You want to do midat chasidut and be extra nice. You know, they gave you someone else's chamor and you know whose it is. So you can return it to the Baalim Arishonim. My taima, yeush kedi kane. Yeush really is kone, yeush and shinoi reshut. But miyu, it doesn't say shinui rishutia, but the mefarshim assume that it must be, because yeush with gzela doesn't work, right? You need to have shinui rishut also. But miyu imamar, I efshi b'mamon she'eno sheli, I'm not comfortable with having mamon that's not mine, machzir lebali marishonim. So you can return it to the original owners. Hare elu shalom ipnei shabali mityashim, right? That's what we said about the first items on the list, right? The muhsin take it and give you, the listing take it and give you something else. So we assume the balim were mityashim. Amar of Ashi, lo shanu ela listim avei kochavim, ava listim Yisrael lo. He distinguishes between non-Jewish robbers and Jewish robbers. What does he say? In which case you're going to have yeush? He says you're going to have yeush when they're oved kochavim. Why? Savar lemachar nekina lebedina. If it's a Jew, you figure I'll take him to court and the guy will heed what the court says. If he's a non-Jew, you feel like it's hopeless. I'm never going to get it back. Matkif la Rav Yosef, he says, wait a minute, adrabah, ipcha mistavr, it should be dafta the opposite. Because we're not focusing on the gazlan, who you're worried about. What are we focusing on? The courts. Akum didayne begite lo miyayish. The non-Jewish courts are so tough, right? This again goes with their whole fear of the non-Jews. Their courts are so tough that for sure you'll get your money back if a non-Jew stole from you. So you're not going to have yeush. You'll feel like, the courts will do their thing. But Yisrael, kevanda amre, Amre Meimar Miyayish, but the courts just say you have to give the money back. But nobody really listens to the courts, right? Here you see also there, right, you can imagine, by the way, that this machloka could be different time periods and what was going on. Because our courts are so weak, they say to the gazlan, you know, return the money. Half the time he doesn't listen, and they don't really do anything about it. So therefore, if it's a Jew that stole from you, for sure you're going to have yeush. And that's what we're talking about. But if it's a non-Jew, you're not going to have yeush. So therefore, what do they say? Based on the fact that Rav Yosef disagrees with Rav Ash, right, Rav Ash's interpretation, he says it must be, Gemara says, we misunderstood Rav Ashi. Ela Iyitmar, right, you could say it's two different approaches, but they say, no. Rav Yosef must be right. So Rav Ashi must have meant it on the Seifa he was talking about, not the earlier part of the Mishnah. He must have been talking about the later part. Iyitmar, if it was said, Rav Ashi, he meant it on the Seifa. Hamatzil mina akum o mina listim im nityashu abalim in. Okay, if you take something right from the akum or from the listim, im nityashu abalim, if the balim had yeush in, but stama lo. And then we're going to assume, right, only if there was yeush does it work, but stam not. And then he said, and that's lo shanu ala akum mishum didayne begite avalistim Yisrael. Right? The whole halacha there was about the akum. So that's where Rav Ashi says it's only true about an akum. There it said akum, it means only akum. But if it's avalistim Yisrael, kevanda amre meimar miyayish. Right? So there we're going to say only im nityashu abalim. But if we don't know if nityashu or not, what are we going to say? The stama of the akum is there wasn't yeush, because people think they're going to get the money back. And therefore, that's what Rav Ashi said, is only Akum, but in Yisrael, we can assume always there was Yeush. Okay. Now, we're going to get into a machloket that comes up in the Mishnah about Orot of Balabayit. Okay, now there's this whole thing, we've talked about this in the past, so I think we've seen this sugya. This is a, it's a Mishnah in Kalim, but we saw it actually came up in Samach Vav, which we didn't learn together. But anyway, what's this issue? If someone has leather, but he hasn't yet formed it into something complete. Now, sometimes you would just use a piece of leather for some sort of purpose. So now, when does something be makabel tumah? When you give it a purpose. But if you're selling something, even though you yourself could use it, if you were going to sell it, then it only has a purpose, right? It could be that the person who buys it from you will want to form it into something more than what it is right now and won't use it just to cover up something basic. So if you have a rote that belonged to Balabayit, if you own it, you're the balabayit on this piece of leather. As soon as you say, I'm going to use this to cover my couch, you know, just throw it on something, then already it becomes something that can be makabel tumah. Vishel ganav, vishel avdan, but if it's the guy in the store, ain machshava mitama atan. Okay, the guy who does the leather, what do you call him?
Tanner,
thank you. If it's in the tanner's property, right, in his factory there, then his machshava, if he wants to use it for something, that doesn't make it tame. You need to wait because it's going to change hands until they do something with it. Only then is machshava mitama atan. Okay, those aren't so relevant for our purposes, but now what about a gazlan? Right, shel gazlan, Ein machshava mitamatan. If you're the gazlan, so your machshava can't be mitame. Why? The assumption is it doesn't belong to you. It has to belong to you in order to make your machshava turn it into a kli. And since the baalim, you'd have to assume, were not yet miyayesh, right? They didn't have yeyush yet. Therefore, the gazlan, his machshava doesn't work. Bishal ganav, but a ganav is different. Machshava metamatan. Okay, we always talk about this distinction, gazlan, ganav. What's the basic distinction? Okay, we're going to sort of get confused about this whole thing today, but a gazlan is usually like a face-to-face robber. He grabs it, he mugs you. And a ganav is he does it secretly. So the assumption here is, according to this Tanakhama, that a gazlan, people think since they saw the guy, they're going to get their stuff back. But a ganav, they don't even know who did it. They're not going to get their stuff back, and therefore he has yeush. Rabbi Shimon omer chiluf hadvarim shel gazlan machshava mitamatan. Since the gazlan was a vicious guy, he put you at gunpoint and he robbed you. You think, I'll never get this guy back. V'shel ganav, who did it secretly, maybe you'll, you know, he wasn't so brazen to go do it from you. Ein machshava mitamatan, maybe you'll get it back. Lefi shelonit yashua bali. Okay, so there's their machloket. Now we're going to have a machloket about their machloket. Okay, there's two charts here about this. Amar Ula. Machloket bestam. This is the whole thing with Yeush. We're going to get into this also in the second part of Matzia. How do you know if someone has Yeush or not? So there's certain assumptions you can make. So if it's bestam and we don't know whether there was Yeush or not, then that's what their machloket was about. But biyadua, but if we know there was yeush, we know for sure, we asked the guy and he said, oh yeah, I don't think I'll ever get this back, then divrei kol yeush kani, then everyone would agree it's fine. That's ula. But Rabba amar, biyadua nami machloket. It's also machloket if you know. Why? Okay, so why does he say this? Doesn't say so here, but the assumption is that yeush doesn't work. Okay, yeush is not sufficient, and therefore, he says, even if you know there was yeush, they still have a machloket about whether or not, whether it works for a ganav or a gazlan. So now we're going to have a bunch of questions on Rabba. Amar le Abaye, le Rabba lo tiflo galei de ula. Rabba, how could you argue with the ula? And as he says, it doesn't really have to do with yeush. The Mishnah itself said what? It's not b'matnitin kavate. What did it say there on Rabbi Shimon? E machshava mitamatan lefi shelo nityashua ba'alim. So what does it say? That's right. If they were, that's why it doesn't work. So Amarle, what is Rabbi going to say about that? Oh, I read that line differently. It's, I say because Yeush doesn't work, not lo nityashu, Yeush didn't happen. Even if Yeush happens, I don't think that it works. Okay, and that's how he reads it. First question is answered. Second question, Tanan. Look at our Mishnah. Our Mishnah, now we know why we brought this Mishnah up here, because our Mishnah is going to contradict. Our Mishnah is not going to work like either opinion, because our Mishnah, basically, I'll say it very simply, our Mishnah puts together Ganav and Gazlan, okay? Because there was the Muhsin and there was the Listim. The assumption here is that Muhsin are Gazlanim, because they come and grab it. And the word Listim here means a Ganav. That's the assumption right now. Okay, soon we're going to say, well, maybe not. But anyway, what do they say? Tna natlu muhsin chamoro v'chule. Mani, irabanan kashi gazlan, irabi shimon kashi ganav. You follow? Because, right, our mission doesn't distinguish. So either you're going to say, right, one is going to be a problem either which way. Bishlama le'ula da'amar biyadua kane. Hachanami biyadua v'divrei hakol. What did Ula say? Everyone agrees that if you know there was yeush, then it works. So you'd have to say that our Mishnah was where we knew there was yeush, and then it would work according to either opinion. But ela l'rabba, damar biyadua nami machloket, so there's no way to be making the Mishnah and say it's l'divrei hakol. So hamane, lo rabbanan v'lo rabbi shimon, it doesn't apply to either one because we have ganav, we have gazlan, and the halacha is the same, and they each distinguish. So what are the answer? Belistim is zuyan. Ah, listim isn't ganav. Listim is gazlan. Listim means armed robbery. Be Rabbi Shimon he. Okay, so then they say yihachi hanu gazlan. But then that's the exact same thing as the gazlan, right? What did it say? Right, the muhsin or gazlanim. So what's the difference? A gazlan or an armed robber? It's the exact same thing. So what did they say? Trei gavne gazlan. No, they're giving you two different types of gazlanim. Okay, tashma. Next Mishnah that's going to contradict. Haganav v'hagazlan. Oh, here you have it explicitly. Ganav v'gazlan. To say listim, okay, listim could go either way. Here you have it explicitly. Haganav v'hagazlan v'hanas hekdeshan hekdeshu trumatan truma. Umasro tehem maaser. What does this show? That there's yeish, right? If they are machdish their item, it works. If they give truma, it works. If they give maaser, it works. Mani. E rabbanan. Here I highlighted on the chart which one is the problem, right? I'm going to show all the ones that where there isn't yeish, because we're assuming in this mishnah there is yeish. So if it's gazlan, then we're going to say, right, the gazlan case is the koshi for Tanakama, who said there is a yeush. And E Rabbi Shimon Kashi Ganav, who says there isn't yeush and ganav. So again, Bishlama Laula, you could say Da Amar Biyadua Kani, right, that we know, and therefore it was Kone. Hachanami Biyadua Vidivre Akol, and then it would work according to everybody. Divre Akol. Ela la Rabba, Da Amar Biyadua Nami Machlok, and Hamani Lo Rabba Nava Lo Rabbi Shimon. So what are you going to answer? Hachanami Belisti Mizuyan. When they say ganav here, they mean armed robber. Okay, that's why I said, even though we distinguish, now we're going to say, well, sometimes it says ganav, it actually means armed robber. Rabbi Shimoni, and Ihachi, Hainu Gazlan. So then it's the same. Hagazlan, Mizuyan, and, you know, Listi Mizuyan, and Gazlan. So again, they say Tre Gavne Gazlan. There's two types of Gazlanin. Or alternatively, Ibait Emma, you could say, Hamat Nita Rebihi. Maybe you'd say, you're right, it doesn't match Tanakam, it doesn't match Rabbi Shimon, but it does match a third Tanaitic opinion. And who's that? That's Rebbe. Well, all of a sudden, we're going to get Rebbe. Titania, Rebbe Amar, Ganav Kigazlan. Right, what do we say? He holds the Ganav, the laws are the same as the Gazlan in terms of this Machloket Tanakam and Rabbi Shimon. He thinks not that there's a distinction, he actually thinks they're both the same. And then who does he hold like? In other words, is it like the Ganav of Tanakam, right? What does he say? The Kamalan, Kigazlan, the Rabbi Shimon. And he says they're all treated like the Gazlan according to Rabbi Shimon, who we say there is Yeush. Okay? So Ganav, he holds Ganav, Gazlan, it's all, we assume, Yeush. So now we're going to get into Rebbe, where does he say this and where are his assumptions? Gufa. Rebbe Amar, Omer Ani Ganav Ki Gazlan. So we buy Luhu, now they asked, when you say it's like a Gazlan, Ki Gazlan de Rabbanan Ka Amar, Velo Kane, do we say there isn't Kinyan because there isn't Yeush, like Chachamim? Odilma kegazlan de Rabbi Shimon kamar v'kani. Now we know the answer already because we just said it. He holds like Rabbi Shimon. But now we're going to see how we got to that conclusion. Now what's good about this is it's a little repetitive because it's going to quote the sugya that we just talked about, our Mishnah. Tashma, nitalo muchsin chamoro v'chule, right? That's our Mishnah. Mane, I Rabbanan kashi gazlan. This is exactly our question before. I Rabbi Shimon kashi ganav. So, Iyamar Bishlama, if you hold that Rebbe, Ki Gazlan de Rabbi Shimon Ka'amar V'Kane, if you hold that Rebbe held that Ganav Gazlan is like Rabbi Shimon and Yeush is Kone, right? And there is Yeush and he's Kone, Hamane Rebbe he. Then you'd be able to simply say the Mishnah is like Rebbe. Mishum Hachi Kane. And that's why it works. Because remember what our Mishnah said, right? Because Mepnei Shenit Yashua Ba'alim. Ela Iyamar Ki Gazlan de Rabbanan Ka'amar V'lo Kane. Right? If you say it's like Gazlan de Rabbanan, then Hamane, then the Mishnah will match nobody. Lo Rebbe, v'lo Rabbi Shimon, v'lo Rabbanan. Now again, remember, we had already answered that, well, we can't read the Mishnah like Rabbi Shimon. So that's what they're going to say now. So you can't, and that's what they're trying to say is forget about the sugya we just learned. The pshat of this Mishnah doesn't seem to work for anybody unless you say, like Rebbe, you hold like Rabbi Shimon, that Yeush would work, and you be Kone. So now what do they say? No, because you could say, Hacha b'mayaskin, I'm b'listi mizuyan, I'm b'Rabbi Shimon, he's just like we answered before, right? We could say, the Mishnah doesn't have to work like Rebbe, and then we'd say that he held Gazlan, there is Yeush like Rabbi Shimon. Because you could just simply say, the Mishnah is Rabbi Shimon, and when it says listim, it means listim mizuyan, for Rabbi Shimon, he, and that everyone's a Gazlan. So again, they're going to ask the same questions before, Ihachi hanu Gazlan. So answer, no, don't worry that there's a Gazlan and there's a Muchas and they're the same thing. No, because Trey Gavne Gazlan. They're trying to tell you there's two different types of Gazlani. So they can't answer yet, Rebbe yet. But now they're going to bring a different source, the other one we saw, Tashma, Haganav HaGazlan V'Hanas HaKdeshan HaKdesh U'Trumatan Truma Masrotehem Masir. This is basically, it's like a great sugya because it's undoing everything we did. And what did we do? We brought our Mishnah, right? We tried to say, it doesn't match either opinion, right? And then we said, oh no, you could say that really when it says Ganav, or we thought it was Ganav, right? It's not Ganav, right? It's really Gazlan. Okay? So we basically then said everything could hold like Rabbi Shimon. Now we're doing the exact same thing as if we didn't answer it there. We think we're going to say, oh, this would prove it's Rebbe, and that Rebbe would hold, right? Because Rebbe holds, and that's all these sources say Ganav and Gazlan are the same. And that would be Rebbe, it would be perfect. But that would only, and that would prove to us what? That if all these are Rebbe, all these say there's Yeish. So that means that Rebbe views them all like Gazlanim according to Rabbi Shimon, that there's Yeish. So now they're going to basically, just like we said last time, you can't prove it isn't Rabbi Shimon. We can prove it's Rabbi Shimon because we could claim that really it's not Ganav and Gazlan. It's really all the same. Now they're going to say, well, you can't prove it's all Rabbi, and it's two, because it says Ganav Gazlan, because maybe just Ganav and Gazlan is the same thing. So you follow there, using the exact same logic they used before, and the exact same, you know, there they tried to bring a question and then they answered it. Here they're trying to bring an answer and then they questioned it by the exact same principles. Okay, so Iyamart Ganav ki gazlan de rabbanan hamane belistim mizuyan. Right? Back to Tashma. Haganav hagazlan v'anas hakdeshan ekdesh u'trumatan shuma u'masrotehem maser mani. I rabbanan kasha gazlan. I rabbi shimon kasha ganav. So Iyamart bishlama ganav ki gazlan de rabbi shimon kamar. Mishum hachi kane. Ela Iyamart ganav ki gazlan de rabbanan hamane belistim. Hamane, right? Then it doesn't apply to anybody, and therefore it must be Rabbi who holds Ganav Kikaslan de Rabbi Shimon. But then they say no. You could say Belistim Mizuyam Rabbi Shimon, maybe it's not Rabbi at all. And the listing, right? It doesn't even talk about a Ganav. It's all about Gazlanim. Yachi Hainu Gazlan, but it's the same thing. So again, the answer Trey Gavne Gazlan. So Amale Rab Ashi the Rabbah. Now we're going to finally have an answer, though, from a different source. Tashma, let's learn from here. Dimatne Rabbi the Rabbi Shimon Berei. Rabbi taught Rabbi Shimon his son. Lo davar sheyesh borach rayu mamash. Remember this? El afilu parav choresh b'chamor mechamer acharav chayavim lachzir mipnei kvod avihen. What do you see from here? Why do children have to return the item from their father? Tama mipnei kvod avihen. But halav kvod avihem lo. So what do you learn from here? Shma mina Rebbe gazlan de Rabbi Shimon kamar shma mina. If the children inherit it, right? What do you see here? Yeush is lo kone. So therefore, I'm sorry. Yeush is kone, and it would become the property of the kids, and they don't have to return it. The only reason they have to return it is for some side issue. So therefore, you see that Rebbe himself said this, so he must hold that Yeush is kone. Okay, Shema Mina. Okay, we're going to go just a little farther, because I don't want to end here. Okay, anyone who has to leave can leave. V'chein nachil shel dvorim, a beehive. Remember that case? So my. V'chein hachi kamar, afilu nachil shel dvorim, dekinyan derabananhu. In other words, I didn't read it right. My v'chein, why does it say, and also? Why would you need to bring up this case? We already gave the principle. So why would this be any different? So now what they want to say is, even in achil shel dvorim, de kinyan de rabbanan hu, where the kinyan on the dvorim is only a kinyan de rabbanan, sacha da'ata chamina, hai kevan de rabbanan ba'almahu de kanele, afilu stama nami miyayesh. Since the owner of the bees only really had a kinyan to rabbanan on these bees, maybe you would assume that in Stam case, everyone would agree that the owners were miyayesh, because it was only a weak kinyan as it was. Kamash malan, therefore, comes to teach you, no. Only im nityashu ba'alim im. Ilo, lo. Okay? Am Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, ne'emenet ishava katan. So now we're going to talk about this ishava katan. Ishava katan b'nei edut ninu? What do you mean? How can they testify? How can we accept the woman or the child saying, I saw that it came from that guy's house? Am Rav Yosef Amr Shmuel, hacha b'mayaskina, kigon shayu ba'alim miratfin acharehen. Ishava katan mesichin lefi tumam. If you remember, we talked about a woman in Yevamo, right? And Ketubot also, about a woman being Naaman to say someone's husband died, right? Someone goes abroad, they don't come back, we allow a woman's testimony. Why do we allow a woman's testimony? Because we said raglayim ledavar. It's the woman's testimony, plus there's something else. What's the something else? There's so many sanctions they put on a woman who thinks her husband's dead, gets remarried, and then what happens? The husband shows up, and then she's asur lezeh, right? She's asur labal, asur laboel, and it's so difficult for her that she's going to make sure she's overturned everything to make sure the guy's really not alive, and therefore we assume if we have only one witness testimony, or even if it's a woman's testimony, we're going to accept that because we have something that's supporting us. So therefore, they're going to say the same thing here. It's a case where we saw, number one, the Baalim were chasing after the beehive and like trying to find where my bees go, okay? Not connected to the statement that, right? And then, like, you know, sort of look at a different screen. Also, what did we see? We saw this woman or child. Just, they didn't come to court. It's not like anyone brought them to court. Then maybe they'd be, again, you have to question why are women not believed, okay? But there was a sense that they're not trustworthy people. But there's what we call mesech lefi tumo. If somebody says something like out of context and they weren't trying to testify about it, okay, this also works with non-Jews, we can believe them because we assume they're telling the truth because they have no ulterior motive to lie. They're not coming to court to say it. So at the same time, we saw this woman saying, I saw the bees coming from here, or the Katan said it. Okay? V'omer mikan yatsa nachil zeh. So Amar Rav Ashi, ein mesiach lefi tumo kasher ela eidud isha bilvad. We only accept mesiach lefi tumo in the eidud of an isha. What's eidud isha? It doesn't mean a woman testifying. It means in order to allow a woman to get remarried. So Amar le Ravina or le Rav Ashi velo, is that really true? V'harei nachil shel dvarim mesiach lefi tumo. Right? In other words, how could you... Right, if Rav Ashi said, Ravina says, what do you mean it's only good in that case? It's also good in the Nechil Shel Dvarim case. So what do they say? Shani Nechil Shel Dvarim, the Kinyan Jerabananhu. Okay, the reason why, now we're going to say, you're right. Mesiach Lefi Tumo should only work in a Eidud Isha case, if we're talking about Doraita things. But since the Nechil Dvarim, he only had a Kinyan Jerabanan on it, so therefore we're going to allow their testimony here also. So now they're saying, wait a minute, are you going to assume d'oraita lo? You're saying Mesiach Lefi Tumo doesn't work d'oraita? Now we're going to end with these two stories about two cases where Mesiach Lefi Tumo worked in a d'oraita level. V'hamar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, ma'aseh v'adam achad shem Mesiach Lefi Tumo, v'aomer, zichrunik shayani tinok, umurkav niyok tefo shel abba, v'otziuni mibet ha-sefer, v'fshituni et ktunati, v'itbiluni le'echo b'truma la'erev. We accept this testimony that the guy's a Kohen, because he says, oh, I remember when I was a kid, they took me on his shoulders after school. We did see this story before. And he took me out of school, and they basically toveled me, and I was able to eat truma. It came up in Ketubot, I believe. Yeah, in Ketubot. The Rabbi Chanina Messiah Bahachi, and Rabbi Chanina would end the story like this, V'chavirav did limi meni, and everyone kept away from me, because I was tahor, and they didn't want to be betame me. V'yukorin oti Yochanan ochel chalot. Okay, that's what they called me. Yochanan, the boy who eats the challah. Ve'alu Rebbe l'kuhn alpiv. Okay, and based on this testimony, he allowed him to be a Kohen and do the avodah. So what do they answer there? Isn't that d'oraita? They say, oh no, b'truma d'rabbanan. Okay. The last story. Va'akati d'oraita lo, va'akiyata ravdimi, amar Rav Chana kartigna, va'amar la Rav Acha kartigna, mishtai. Okay, either whatever, who said it. Ma'aseh ba'al lefnei Rav Yehoshua ben Levi, va'amar la ma'aseh ba'al lefnei Rebbe b'tinok achad. Shem Mesiach Lefi Tumo, Va'amar, we also saw this, Ani v'ishbi, Ami imin nishbeinu lebein akum, Yatzati l'shov mayim, Da'ati alimi, Lekot etzim, Da'ati alimi. Right? I was with her, my mother got taken into captivity, we always assume she got raped. But he says, this little kid says, I was with her everywhere I went, I stayed, I was always attached to her. Right? And therefore, it's clear she never slept with anyone. Right? She didn't get raped. Okay, and then they allowed her to marry a Kohen, because otherwise she wouldn't be able to marry a Kohen. So again, what do they answer? Oh, you can't give that as a problem. How could you allow Mesiach Lefi Tumo d'oraita? This is d'oraita, but b'shvuya hikilu. It was a special kula by a shvuya that they allowed it. Okay, stop here for today.